Golf Smarter, number 343, published on July 24, 2012, is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks, with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature, including fiction, nonfiction, and periodicals. For a free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter.
SmarterPodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.
The Quail and the Bear Courses, Okanagan Golf in British Columbia.
This is Golf Smarter, sharing tips and insights from golfers and golf professionals to help lower your score. It's worked for your host, Fred Green.
Welcome to the Golf Smarter Podcast, Dan.
Hello, Fred. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure.
And thank you so much for your hospitality when I came up to British Columbia and had an opportunity to spend a glorious week in the Okanagan Valley.
Well, you know what? It's been an interesting season, and there's been a lot of rainfall, so we are very happy that you had a great day out here.
Now, it fascinates me because, yes, the week I was there, there was some rain. There was magnificent clouds. I don't know if you get those clouds all the time, but the clouds were just amazing because I like to take photographs, and the clouds just made the sky that much more spectacular. Everyone was saying that it was so wet, it was so rainy, it was so strange. What kind of weather do you have? People think British Columbia, Canada, snow.
Well, for a portion of time, usually somewhere near November, December, January, and maybe a little bit of February, yes, the Okanagan specific is typically semi-arid. I mean, we get golfing in March, and we usually golf through October, and sometimes we add on to each end of that. For us, April, May, and June are usually pockets of wonderfully warm weather, you know, 20, 24, 26 Celsius for stretches, pockets of rainfall as well, but usually above the norm as far as sunshine. However, this year we've had a regular April and May, but the month of June in particular, we set a historic record for rainfall. The most rainfall in Kelowna specific and in the Okanagan in general, but Kelowna specific, most rainfall in Kelowna in history.
So what were the totals there? I mean, what is historic rainfall?
It was, don't quote me on this, but I believe the prior record for the month was 103 milliliters, and I think we were at 106, I think. Just an average for June is about 50 milliliters, I believe. So it was more than double the normal and an official record. So you did see a wonderfully lush golf course, and even now it's beautiful and lush and green out here, which is great. Oftentimes by mid-July and into August, we'll start seeing some beige patches and some drying of the golf courses on the humps and on the elevated areas and stuff like that. But right now we're lush and green, and I guess that's the benefit of setting a record in June with rainfall.
Now you mentioned Celsius, you mentioned milliliters, but you play golf on yards.
Absolutely correct.
Okay, I'm totally baffled here.
It's Canada.
Canadians have such a great sense of humor. Because I guess it's easy to laugh at yourself. But why yards? Why is everything else metric except for golf?
You know, it's a good point. I think the idea of yards is just a tradition of golf that's been difficult to break away from, because we still have 100-yard markers, 150-yard marker, 200, 250 to the par fives. And I think to change that over to meters, with so much of our traffic being from around the world, it might be difficult to all of a sudden have a 110-meter marker. People might be meters. We're not quite sure. So while our measurements and we're in kilometers for distances, golf courses have remained traditional despite all of our other measurements around us. We've stayed very traditional with yards to the center of the greens.
That was good. Now we're going to go back a little bit here and talk more about the weather, because, as I said, most people would think of Canada as not being presenting the opportunity of playing that much golf per year. Is this one of the more arid places in Canada?
Absolutely, yeah.
And especially in British Columbia. I mean, because, you know, people think of Vancouver, Victoria, you're over on the coast, you know.
You bet. And places like Vancouver and Victoria on the coast, you know, it's a mild climate. Not unlike that, I guess, of Newfoundland, New Brunswick, where moisture is opposed to snowfall. Now, BC specific, you bet. There, if you want to find snow, you can find snow, and you can find snow for 6 months of the year. If you head head north to places like Prince George, Harris, Mackenzie, British Columbia, these are all well north and well up closer to you know, heading up to the very northern parts of the province. However, where we're located, which is kind of the central southern areas of British Columbia and or eastern central parts of British Columbia, it is semi-arid. A couple hours from us is a desert around a Soyuz and Penticton. It becomes fully desert area and is very dry. So our golf season is quite long. And here in the Okanagan, well, we'll golf from early March through October and into November, a couple of hours away in a Soyuz closer to the borders where it's more arid and almost desert-like, they golf year-round depending on the season. Sometimes it will get snow, but they can golf year-round. And we'll get out here in March and in October, we'll get temperatures of 20 Celsius, beautiful days. We might sometimes be challenged with frost in the mornings on the clear days, but once we're over the frost hump, if we get it, you get beautiful 20 degrees Celsius, which is, you know, almost 70 degrees Fahrenheit, beautiful golfing weather. So it's definitely a long golf season out here.
So geographically speaking, let's kind of put a perspective, because most people when I talk to them about where I vacation up in the Okanagan Valley, they're like, you know, they give me that puppy dog look. You know, they tilt the head like, what? What are you talking about? I've never even heard of that space. So if the way I got there was I flew to Seattle, headed east in Washington State for a couple of hours through the Cascades, beautiful, and then drove up north. And so when you cross the border, first of all, the Border Patrol, it's much quicker than trying to go through Vancouver, I'm sure.
It is.
And much easier. So you come across the border, and a Soyuz is right up there, which I got a chance to play golf there as well. And so that's just a couple miles off the border. And then so Okanagan, the lake itself, a magnificent lake, 85 miles long. And Okanagan Golf Club is about halfway up, right? You're about halfway up from the southern tip of the lake.
Absolutely, yes.
Kelowna, and I was staying down in Naramata, which is by Penticton, which is the southeastern corner of the lake and is the wine country.
That's correct.
And the wine country was, I was blown away. And I live right minutes away from Sonoma wine country, Napa and Sonoma wine country in Northern California. And I was blown away at how great the wine was, how beautiful the landscape was. But everyone kept talking about Kelowna being, oh, Kelowna, the big city. Ugh, Kelowna, right? 100,000 people, and that's the big city, right?
Yep. Yes, you're in the Okanagan where it's wonderfully quaint, and you must have felt tremendously at home in Naramata. It is, as you know, drive a couple of hundred meters, and there's another turn off to another winery. Drive a couple hundred meters, there's a turn off to three or four wineries. It's a beautiful area, and this whole area through Kelowna is considered wine country. It's just a beautiful area for not only golf, obviously wine touring and wineries, and then that big lake that you've been mentioning is a wonderful summer playground for so many tourists from across Canada, from the United States, and from Europe as well.
Mm-hmm. The place that we were staying right in Naramata, we walked to three different wineries. One of the main ones there, Lake Breeze, was 100 yards from our front door. So, and they're only open for lunch and wine tasting, and the wines were great. So if anyone's thinking about a different type of vacation that you've got at all, let me just say that what I found in the Okanagan Valley, definitely have to rent a car. You can even fly into Kelowna if you want to. You don't have to drive the 7 hours from Seattle, but you've got beautiful weather, beautiful landscape, really great people, awesome food, phenomenal wine, great hiking, and spectacular golf. I mean, there are a lot of golf courses in your area.
Absolutely. We are wine, Gulf and Lake, and in the summer, you just have to see the size of Kelowna and how much it grows in the Okanagan in general, populace-wise, because all of a sudden we are a destination spot, and it's really beautiful. And, you know, compared to, in some ways, not unlike a place about 4 hours from here, Lake Chelan, Washington, I believe, where they have this beautiful lake and lots of wine countries. If you could times that by about five or six as far as the number of wineries, and by times it by about 20 by the number of golf courses, you've got a very similar comparison.
Hmm. Unbelievable. And I was also lucky enough to, and it makes me laugh when I think about it, we were in Kelowna for the day on Canada Day.
Oh,
and Canadians love their country. They're and they dress up for the occasion. It was a lot of fun. I got some great pictures.
But red and white are our favorite colors.
Yes, they are.
Hockey, anyway.
And hockey.
And hockey.
And hockey. And just that was a lot of fun. I also, when I played the Quail course, you have two courses there. We played the Quail course. I did shoot some video, so you should check out, listeners should go to our YouTube channel, Golf Smarter TV, and check out the video that I did about the Quail course, a little tee tour there. And what was so much fun is you weren't available that day, Dan, but there was some kid, I guess, who plays that course a lot, Jimmy. Jimmy was the ambassador of the day for your golf course, and I have him narrating some of these holes. You'll get to meet Jimmy, and he was just a lot of fun. A great kid, and his friend hit the ball a ton.
Absolutely, and Jimmy's grown about 2 inches since then and has got a smile from ear to ear still. He loves the fact that he had that opportunity and got to play, and he's our number one outside services helper out there, and a great young man, as was his friend, who I didn't know as well, but Jimmy
Michael,
is just ear to ear grinning about it. Yep.
Yeah,
he really enjoyed himself.
Michael had five or six birdies that day and was complaining about his game. I was like, all right, kid, go to your room.
Like exactly.
18 years old. It's like, be quiet, you little creep.
they make it look too easy.
He really did. Way too easy. Listen, I do want to talk more about the golf course and the architect, Les Ferber, but I need to break for a moment because this episode of the Golf Smarter podcast is brought to you by Audible.com, the Internet's leading provider of audiobooks with more than 100,000 downloadable titles across all types of literature and featuring audio versions of many New York Times bestsellers. Audible would like to provide Golf Smarter listeners with an opportunity to try Audible with a free audiobook of your choice from their enormous library. And I would love to know, I'm going to put you on the spot here, Dan, are you a book reader?
You know what? Once in a while, but I do more of the audio version is
really?
Definitely I do more often. It is. I don't know if it's just my time. I love to listen when I'm driving in the right. in the vehicle, and so audio is my route.
Really? So you still are a book reader, but you just don't have time to sit down and read a book, so you take advantage of audios.
Audio yeah, books. I tried driving my car and reading a book, and it didn't work out, so I like listening much better.
It's reading.
Absolutely.
Well, and it also takes you in a much different place when you're listening to the narration of a book. You know, books are beautiful of creating pictures in your mind, but when you have someone telling you a story.
Absolutely.
Actually, I'll promote this one later. Not just yet, but I had a on our drive from Seattle to Penticton, we listened to an audio book in the car, and it was a great book, which I'll talk about later. But I'm curious to ask you if you can make any recommendations on an audio book that we can find in Audible.
Well, certainly one of the most recent ones that I really enjoyed was a great book called Into the Wild, which you've probably heard about. They did make a movie about it.
A great movie.
Yeah, painful. About a young man that just decided he wanted to get away from all the big city stuff and walk into the wilderness and live off the land. And it was a fantastic book. The movie was good as well, but I really enjoyed that. And that was one of the most recent ones that I can remember of note that I really, really did enjoy listening to.
An amazing movie. And I can only imagine that the way the book was written, that he must create some beautiful pictures and take you along his journey.
Absolutely.
It's amazing that they found Oh, I don't want to. Yep. Oh, spoiler alert.
Uh-oh.
I'm not going to give the ending away. If you haven't seen if you haven't seen the movie, get the audiobook first. Right? It's written by
absolutely.
John Krakauer. It's called Into the Wild, narrated by Philip Franklin, and the book itself is actually over 7 hours long, so it would be a great introduction if you've not done an audiobook to check out Audible. Check out Into the Wild by John Krakauer. Great recommendation. Thank you very much.
It's a great book.
Yeah. So, if you do want to sign up and get that free audiobook, you can choose Into the Wild or anything you'd like. Just go to audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. Audible is AUDIBLE. audiblepodcast.com/golfsmarter. We thank them very much for the support of this podcast. All right. Now, Dan, I really do want to ask you about the golf course you have. Tell me about the two properties that you have, or the two courses you have on your property.
Absolutely. We've got two golf courses, two different designers, and two great tests of golf. Quail Course, which you played, a Les Ferber design, a wonderful golf course, kind of wanders through the Ponderosa Pines, and depending on how you're playing, you can find a lot more out there as well, with some beautiful vantage points, some wonderfully challenging holes and some great great view spots. And our other golf course is the Bear Course, a company called Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear Design. They have something to do with that guy. What's he? Oh, yeah, the leading majors winner, Jack Nicklaus. His design golf course, which is obviously a beautiful resort-style golf course. Same kind of landscaping, some beautiful views, spectacular shots, a great stretch of finishing holes, and, a Jack Nicklaus Golden Bear Design golf course. It's a great golf course. So we got two out here. We're really lucky.
Yeah, you are. And why did I choose Quail over the Bear?
You know, the Quail was here first.
Okay.
So tradition-wise, if you're going to play things in order, that would be the one to play. And with the Quail itself, historically, having it being here first, our membership seems to be really partial to it. They just rant and rave and brag about the Quail course. And for yourself, I think it was a great opportunity to jump onto the Quail and play the golf course that was here first, that really set the area on fire when it was first introduced. And it's a nice – it's too bad you couldn't have got them both in, but the Quail was probably choice number one to come out here and play.
Yeah, I don't regret playing this course at all. And as we talked about earlier about how lush and green it is, are those trees green all year long? They look like the type of trees that might be. Do you need to get the phone?
Actually, I don't. Sorry, we're supposed to put them through the voicemail. My apology.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's just pretend. I'll answer it if you want. No, never mind. So are your trees green all year long, or do they go barren during winter?
You know what? Our trees stay green all the time. They're Ponderosa pine trees.
That's what they look like, yeah.
So when we're all white, we have beautiful green trees. Oh, and in the summertime, we have green trees that obviously can be wonderfully attractive, unless, of course, your ball happens to wander into them. But even then, as you may have, you probably hit it down the middle every hole, but as you may have discovered that on the sides, there is room to escape as well.
Yep.
There's a lot of decision-making when you go into the trees. You'll walk around and kind of see some lanes, and it's a matter of how much of a gambler you are, whether you'll just take the easy pitch out or whether you try and do something a little more than that. And,
well, listen, we don't call that an easy pitch out. We call that golf smarter.
Golf smarter.
Yeah, you see, you're getting the tie in here.
It's
not just the name of the show. It's why we play better golf.
I get it. Golf smarter. I like
it. And I guess our main rule would be never follow a bad shot with a stupid shot.
That is a great rule. Great rule.
And it's not what you would call a level course. There are a lot of ups and downs, uphills, downhills, blind shots on this course, which, it's the type of thing you play and you go, okay, I really want to play this again because now I get it.
Absolutely. We've got, as you mentioned, just some tremendous elevation changes. The golf course itself, the Quail, kind of wanders around a huge rock bluff that I'm understating it in that it's like a mountain, basically, and you play around this giant rock bluff mountain, so there are some tremendously high vantage points, some beautiful, spectacular views. Mm-hmm. You know, when you're looking down at a fairway that is wonderfully cut and mown, and you see the cut lines, and you're up on a beautiful high vantage point getting ready to hit, it kind of gets the blood flowing, gets the adrenaline flowing, and adds to the effect of the golf course.
Are you specifically talking about that par 5, what is it, number 12, that you're looking down, and then...
12 and 6 on the front nine is one of those ones as well in the Quail, where you stand up top and you look down and it's absolutely spectacular and beautiful, and a beautiful golf hole.
Oh, okay. So 6, I think, is the one I'm thinking about. That's the par 5 that kind of doglegs right on your approach shot.
That's correct, yes.
Oh, man, was that a spectacular view. I love, and the views from, you know, Jimmy and Michael were playing the black tees, and George and myself were playing up front on the whites, because, hey, we're on vacation.
Absolutely.
And the views from those two tee boxes were completely different, both spectacular, and you really had to place your shots. My first shot went a little right. My second shot, I thought I put it out in the middle, but because of that dog leg, I was behind trees, but far enough back where I can get, I think it was about 145 or so yards out, and I took a 6-iron. It was an elevated green, but I had to get over these trees and just nailed the shot. I had a sense of where the flag was. I went around and looked at it, and I had a sense, and I nailed the shot, and I parred the hole because I wasn't putting that well that day, but I just had a great shot, and it was just a beautiful, beautiful hole.
Absolutely, and I can picture that shot. I've had it many times myself over there, and well done to get that shot over the trees. And it's a beautiful vantage point. And you, as you mentioned, from where you teed off, that's a whole different perspective. In fact, on that hole, maybe the best viewpoint in the whole golf course is off our silver tees and or the red tees, which are much further on that side. But it's a beautiful vantage point. Checks out the whole valley area, and of course the wonderful kind of almost a double dog leg par 5, and from the black tees and or the gold tees, it's also a spectacular view, but you're so far back sometimes you miss the beginning of this beautiful valley, and so you had probably the best viewpoint on the golf course.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier on the Bear course, the finishing holes. I gotta tell you, the last three holes, but even before that, I want to get in 16, 17, and 18, which were just beautiful, and design, the challenge, the strategy design was spectacular. But I want to talk about number 14.
Okay.
Give us a little tee tour of number 14, because I found that to be an interesting hole, and the way Jimmy narrated it, he said, many bets have been won and lost on this hole. And this is from an 18-year-old. What are you teaching those kids up there?
I know. It's crazy, these darn kids. And we're talking 14 on the Quail course,
yeah,
which is this beautiful kind of risk-reward hole. You've got a couple of different directions you can play. There's, I guess to give it a little background, it's a par 4. It's usually requires two good shots, obviously, at the center of the green, but there's a significant natural water hazard in front of it, which, as you know, on any hole, when there's water in front of you, it tends to make the sweat glands open up a little bit, and there are some pressures involved there, the cost of a golf ball potentially, et cetera, et cetera. But this hole gives you a couple of choices. You can play to a landing area that kind of shortens the route off the tee, but still leaves you anywhere from a 100 to 140-yard shot over water to the green. And or you can play the long route around, which you can almost avoid the water hazard, but you still kind of have to go over the edge of it anyway. But now you need a much longer tee shot. So it's a bit of a risk-reward off the tee box. But if you play it like most do, they play to the target landing area, landing spot that leaves you about 120, 130 in. Avoids kind of a large waste bunker and another bunker just prior to the water hazard. So if you accomplish mission A, which is getting to the landing area, then you're left with this tricky little, you know, anywhere from a wedge, 9-iron, 8-iron shot, full carry over water. If you carry the water, there's bunker, and then over the bunker is this wonderful green. But when there's Nassau's on the line and you're getting into the home stretch of the golf course, usually it's a great adrenaline rushing hole and a beautiful little hole that doesn't require a 300-yard tee shot or anything. You just need a wonderfully accurate tee shot to this landing area and then precise yardage on your second shot with an 8, 9, or a pitching wedge. And it's real easy when you hit two good shots, but when you don't, then the presses might have to start in the next hole because you're probably going to be behind.
Well, as you are coming into number 14, you have to go under the road through a little tunnel. And as you come out of the tunnel and out to the tee box, your eyes kind of pop out of your head, because when you're standing at the tee box and you're viewing the hole and you're thinking, oh my God, look, I have two different directions I can go here. But you really want it, just draws you to that shorter area.
Absolutely.
And it forces you to make that try. I mean, it really does invite you in a very interesting way. And of course, George and I went that way and each lost a ball.
Well, there you go. And I know, and if you can believe it, for some of the longest ball hitters, they will be on the tee box deciding if driver to carry it all, which is about a 300-yard carry, give or take 10 or 20 yards depending on where the markers are. They may decide off the tee to try and go for the green, which is a whole different ballpark, but that's for a very, very small percentile of golfers. But that option is there for those that hit the ball the longest of all of us.
Well, I was playing from the silvers, and that means it's only about 250 or so. Yeah, I'll carry. And Jimmy was like, come on, go for it, Fred. Come on, you can do it from there. I'm like, are you out of your mind? You know, so I'm thinking, hey, I'll hit it. And nothing. I just screwed it up completely. But it is such an interesting hole. I mean, after we finished, I was like, can we go do that again? That was really, really a fun hole.
You bet, because it gives you options, and it doesn't, you don't have to hit the ball a long way, but everyone's got to cross the water at some point, and it's a great hole, and, well-bunkered, picturesque hole, and like you say, it's after you come out some of these tree-lined fairways in the holes prior to, and you go through that tunnel, all of a sudden it's like, hey, we're in a little oasis here in this beautiful little hole that looks so friendly and nice. Maybe we can birdie it, maybe.
And another hole that offers you that kind of, how do I describe that? The attraction, when your eyes popping out of your head going, ooh, I have options here, is number 18. A beautiful finishing hole, water, fountain, buildings. But it's really a pretty hole, but it gives, again, another hole that has options.
Absolutely. 18 would definitely be our signature hole in the Quail course. It's as you're driving into the facility, as you're getting down the home stretch, getting close to the clubhouse, you see kind of through the trees this hole that has a lake and, a significant carry, you know, upwards of 140-yard carry to a slightly elevated green, but you have a perfect vantage point of the green, and it gives you options off the tee. You can cut as close as you want to the tree line and decide how close to the edge of the fairway you want to get, which of course reduces what club and the yardage you have to hit in. If you hit a shot just along the edge of the trees, which are to your left, and parallel to those, you can end up with maybe 140 yards in. That'll put you about 5 yards away from the edge of the fairway, which drops off into the water hazard. Mm. Or you can play safe and not be as sharp or as close to the trees, but then you have 160, 170, 180, maybe 190 or even 200 yards in carry over a water hazard.
To an elevated green, right?
An elevated green, which maybe adds 10 more yards, which I probably could have told you ahead of you playing the golf course, is when you get to 18, take an extra club for sure. You don't notice it, but it is a little elevated.
I had Jimmy. You didn't need to tell me.
Perfect. And so absolutely, your decision off the tee plays a huge role in how your second shot will play. Mm-hmm. And if hole 14, like we talked about, is kind of a risk reward and a bit the sweat glands and the heart starts pounding, well, 18, you know there's definitely a $2 Nassau or something on the line, maybe the first round of beverages when you're into the clubhouse on the line, and now you've got this spectacular shot with inevitably people from some of the housing nearby potentially watching. There's always people watching up by the green sneaking a peek. It's so spectacular. All those factors add to one heck of a pressure-packed shot, and what a reward when you hit the green.
Yeah, yeah. And I know that people are like, Fred, you don't talk about holes this much, but this golf course really stayed in my mind. And I do want to go one more, because strategically speaking, out of everything that you presented, I think 17, strategically, 17 was the most interesting hole I may have ever seen.
Yeah, well, 17 is a beautiful, long par 5, definitely a three-shot par 5. And one of the interesting things that you're probably talking about from a strategy point of view is, you know, it's not too often that you have a, you know, a tree, and certainly in this case, a large, huge evergreen tree in the middle of the fairway, which after your tee shot, providing hit a good solid shot down the middle, you're faced with that decision. Do you go to the left side of the tree or to the right side of the tree? Going to the right side of the tree somewhat lessens the yardage in on your third shot to this par five, but it's a little more narrow and there are plenty of trees further right. It's a real risk-reward situation again. Or do you play it a little safer, go to the left-hand side of this tree in the center of the fairway and have a longer third shot in to, an elevated green that probably adds a club to your shot. And because of the yardage, you've got to hit three good shots to be at this green to give you an opportunity for a birdie, which is, I can tell you, well above the curve. If you walk out of that hole with a birdie, if you walk out with a par, you're still probably ahead of the curve. It typically plays as one of our most difficult holes on the golf course.
No question about it. I'm trying to see what my scorecard says. Well, you know, I bogeyed that hole. I was very happy with a bogey on that one. So thank you again. It was a beautiful, beautiful day, and it's a great golf course. And I just want to let everyone know, you know, if you're thinking of going in that area, golfbc.com, correct?
Absolutely. www.golfbc.com gives you a wonderful website to visit all of our Golf BC golf courses. And in particular, if it's the Okanagan you've decided to visit, whether it's for the first time or again, you can click on the Okanagan Golf Club. You'll see both our golf courses, the Quail and the Bear, some beautiful pictures of the golf courses, lots of information on the entire area, as well as specifically those golf courses and so many of the other beautiful golf courses in the Okanagan Valley.
And how many golf courses does Golf BC manage in the Okanagan area?
We have three total, four golf courses. We have our two golf courses, the Bear and the Quail, and Gallagher's Canyon, which is a wonderfully renowned golf course, one of the first ones in the area that really started bringing out traffic to the Okanagan Valley, is out here, and they have a nine-hole course called the Pinnacle, which is a kind of a fun mid-length golf course. So they've got 27 holes, we've got 36 holes. Both are Golf BC facilities, and just a great opportunity to play some spectacular golf under a beautiful, warm, sunny sky.
There you go. Dan Matheson is the general manager of the Okanagan Golf Club in Kelowna, British Columbia. Dan, thank you so much for your time and for sharing the course with us.
Thank you so much. I'm glad you enjoyed it. I hope you can get out here again and play our Bear course, play the Quail again, and play so many of the other beautiful golf courses in the Okanagan Valley.
And the T-Tour video of the Quail course at Okanagan Golf Club is posted on our Golf Smarter TV YouTube channel. So if you'd like to see some of my video and photos of the course and meet Jimmy, please check it out at golfsmarter.com or youtube.com/golfsmarterTV. Hey, they're moving fast, and our legions of Golf Smarter ambassadors continues to grow. I'm talking about the greatest divot tool in the universe. It's the durable Switchblade Divot Tool with the removable Golf Smarter Ball Marker. Our motto, at least this week, is spend less time looking for balls and more time fixing ball marks on the greens. It benefits every golfer and golf course, whether you like them or not. Get a free divot tool when you order 5. Golf Smarter members receive a 25% discount and two free divot tools when you order five. That's the newest bonus of joining Golf Smarter for members only. The main reason to join is complete access to our archives of over 300 educational and hopefully entertaining interviews and a brand new episode every week. Please sign up today. Help support this listener-supported podcast at golfsmarter.com.
Smarterpodcasts.com. Delivering sound advice.